The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us today as we continue with our study on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a tremendous study from the Word of God, and I'm really looking forward to continuing in it. First of all, of course, I have several announcements, as usual, and some of the announcements are pretty exciting. I tell you, we're just really getting a lot done with Word of Faith Radio. We're firming up the Healing Channel or Healing Station programming to where you will be able to hear healing teaching, scriptures read concerning healing, music concerning healing, everything healing on the Healing Station. And we've got some really exciting things coming down the pike. I'm even working on a project right now. I'll go ahead and tell you about it. I wasn't going to, but I'll go ahead and tell you about it. And that is that we have a project, or I have a project personally, where I am reading Kenneth E. Hagin's little mini book, God's Medicine. And I'm reading that with music playing behind it. And we're going to have that on the Healing Station as well. So a lot of neat stuff that we're putting together. Harold Cagle and myself have been working on this for some time now, and we're really tweaking it and really getting it down to where it needs to be to really be a powerful and anointed ministry of the Healing Station. People that have need of healing, you can have them tune in and listen, and they will hear words of encouragement. But more than that, they'll hear words from the Word of God. And remember what we found out about that is the Word of God says that the Word of God is not void of the power necessary to bring that Word to pass. And so the power is contained within the very Word of God to bring what it says to pass. And so when we hear scriptures concerning healing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17, I tell you what, healing will come. Healing will manifest. Hallelujah. My shirt's kind of unruly here. I've been running. I tell you, I have been running all over the place. And there's an old saying about a horse, you know, run hard and put up wet. I have really been in that situation where I've been run hard, put up wet lately. Just a lot going on. But I tell you, it's all exciting. And God is moving. We just got through with a meeting, as a matter of fact, at Faith and Victory Church. Let's see. As I record this, this is a Friday. As I record this, it was just this past Wednesday night. We had Kevin Durant, now not the basketball player Kevin Durant, but Reverend Kevin Durant, who used to work with Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. As a matter of fact, was the head of his healing, you know, the healing classes. He helped coordinate that and teach in some of those classes as well, and also coordinated the prayer room for Brother Hagin. So lots of involvement. Of course, he's a Raymond graduate. And I encourage you to go listen to his message that we recorded on video. And that is at fvc.org. And that actually reminds me of something else that I wanted to mention and have been forgetting to mention. And that is both the Faith and Victory videos and our videos, the very video you're watching right now, are available on YouTube as well. Now, they're very similar in how you find them. You go to youtube.com/WOFMORG. No dot. Just WOFMORG. Okay, that's like our website, but without the dot. And then same thing with FVC. Their videos are youtube.com/FVCORG. Again, no dot. If you'll do that, you can find those videos, and I encourage you to check them out on YouTube as well. And I've got a special favor to ask you. Please consider subscribing to our videos on YouTube. Now you say, well, Dr. Bill, I already get them off the website, and I get them this way, and I get them through iTunes, and I get them all different kinds of ways. Well, that's great, and I appreciate it. But if you'll subscribe on YouTube, the way that works is it will elevate our numbers on our subscription on YouTube. And when that happens, more people will come and will watch the videos and be ministered to. That's just the way it works. As you get popular on YouTube, your numbers start going up and more people start finding out about you. So I just encourage you, just as an outreach ministry, even if you never plan to watch our videos, I know this sounds funny, but if you never plan to watch our videos, it will be of tremendous consequence and help if you will just go ahead and subscribe on YouTube. If you don't have a YouTube account, it's very simple and it's free. There's no obligation to setting up a YouTube account. But if you go ahead and do that and go ahead and subscribe, you just click the subscribe button on our channel there, for WOFM.org, that channel, then that will be a real blessing to us, and I really appreciate it. All right, let's go back into what we're talking about. I've got so many things I want to share with you, so much on my heart. It's hard to know where to start, but I'm just going to jump in, and we're going to believe that we'll get where we need to go. Praise the Lord. We've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit here on the Word of Faith netcast, and I have gotten some good email about this, and I've got one in particular. This particular brother asked me some very specific questions. I'm going to defer those questions till the next netcast. I'm going to have a kind of a question and answer here on the netcast because there's something very specific I want to get into today. But then we will answer his questions, and I think it'll be very beneficial, not only to that particular brother that wrote me, but also to those that have similar questions. They're very good questions, and we want to answer those questions. And let me tell you, there are answers, okay? The questions that you ask, my dear brother, they're not confrontational. They're not hard questions. They're good questions, and they're very easily answered. We're going to get into that. I hate to put it off till the next episode or next show or whatever you want to call it, netcast, but we've got to lay some groundwork, okay? We got to set some things down before we get to those particular questions. So you hang in there, all right? Praise the Lord. Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is our theme scripture for this study. Acts chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, remember we said that was a celebration of the Jews. It didn't have anything to do with this particular incident. It just so happens that the Holy Ghost was poured out on this particular holiday of the Jewish day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Don't you just wish that every church was in that situation, that they were all in one accord and one place? Hallelujah. That's where the power is. That's a whole nother study. Let's keep going. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Woo, the Holy Ghost showed up. Hallelujah. Don't you love it when that happens? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And notice this, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Utterance. This term utterance, what does that mean? It means speaking words. Okay? If I utter words, I'm speaking words. So utterance is talking about speaking words. The Spirit gave them words to speak. Okay? Now we will see later in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that is exactly what Paul was talking about when he said, "For we don't know what we speak, the Holy Spirit gives us the words to speak." We'll study that out, as I said, next time. But for right now, what I want you to see is when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues. Now, some people have said that it was at this point in time that the disciples got born again. Now, that isn't the case. And we'll demonstrate that. As a matter of fact, I think that's an important point to bring out. Let's go to Luke. Not to be people aware of this, but did you know that Luke, the book of Luke, was the first volume of a two-volume set? Amen. Luke and Acts were both written by the Apostle Luke, who was a medical doctor. He was very highly trained. He was very highly educated. He was methodical. He was very detailed in his as treatise, as he calls it, which means letter. It simply means letter. He was very detailed in his letters. And he wrote the book of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. We'll see that that is so by going to Luke. I hadn't planned to do this, but let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which was from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding, don't you love this? Perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee, most excellent Theophilus. Now, Luke says, I was there from the beginning. I saw it all come to pass. A lot of people have written down their remembrance, their account. I'm going to write mine. Okay? So Luke begins his gospel. Now, you say, well, that's all good, Dr. Bill. What about Acts? Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Now, remember, he wrote Luke to Theophilus, okay? Which means a lover of God, by the way. But he wrote the first one to Theophilus. Now, look what Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says. The former treatise or letter have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion with many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking to them pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he wrote the book of Luke, as you might say, volume 1, and he wrote the book of Acts as volume 2. So you have to take them together. Taking them together gives you the full history. Now I want you to see something here in Acts chapter 1 as we were reading here in verse 1. The former letter or volume or treatise, as he says here, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, hath given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, notice what it says in verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, these apostles, for 40 days. Now let me ask you this. What does Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 say? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, hallelujah, which we preach. That if thou shalt believe, remember what it says here, believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and confess him as Lord, thou shalt be saved. Okay? Now what's that mean? That means if they believed that Jesus was raised from the dead, and they received him as Lord and called him Lord, they were saved. Amen. So when did they get saved? Was it at the day of Pentecost at the book of Acts? Or was it earlier? Because it says, through the Holy Ghost, he's given commandments unto the apostles whom he showed himself alive. Well, they obviously believed he was raised from the dead, right? And when he appeared to them in that room, what did they say? They said, Lord. They called him Lord. So they were born again much earlier. And we know that because it says, through the Holy Ghost he gave them instruction. The Holy Ghost ministers to believers and speaks to believers. Now, you may say, well, yeah, but the Holy Ghost convicts and draws those that are not born again. That's true. But that's the only thing he talks to them about is receiving Jesus as the Lord. Once the person received Jesus as their Lord, then the Holy Ghost will talk to them, teach them, share with them. See, but we're seeing that what happened here is the apostles were born again much earlier. Now, let's go to Luke Let's see. I'm looking for the specific chapter and reference. I had not planned to get into this. This is not in my notes. I am really sorry. Chapter 24, I believe it is. All right. They were frightened when they saw Jesus, supposed to have been a spirit, verse 37 of Luke 24. Why are you troubled? Why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed him his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, and said unto him, have ye here any meat? He gave the and they gave to him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. He took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, all these things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. Verse 45 says, and he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He said unto them, it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Keep reading here. And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands. He blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. They believed. They saw him raised from the dead. They worshipped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, another account of this, over in the book of John, let's go over and look at this, because again, I need you to see something here. Book of John, John 21. I'm actually having to look at several books here because there's a verse of scripture, and I will find it. Matter of fact, I tell you what I'm going to do. Good old Esword. I'm just going to search for it. He made the statement, receive ye. Where it says he breathed on them. I'm going to say breathed on them. John 20. There we go. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for Esword. Praise the Lord. John 20. Jesus appears to them. All right, this is another account. John 20. He appears to them in verse 22. When he had said this, he breathed on them. This is the apostles. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, the way this reads in the Greek, if you check it out in the Greek, it says, receive now the Holy Ghost. And when he breathed on them, it is a parallel of what God did in Genesis when he breathed into Adam the breath of life. Jesus breathed into them the Holy Ghost. Amen. So when he breathed into them, the Holy Ghost came to live inside them, and they were, in the sense of, they were born again. In other words, the Holy Ghost didn't baptize them, as in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he came to renew them from the inside in the new birth. All right? I want you to see that distinction. I want you to see that that had already occurred before the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2. This precedes that incident in Acts chapter 2 that we read earlier. He here breathes on them and says, receive now. In other words, the breathing on them is the point at which they receive the Holy Ghost in the new birth. But then in Acts chapter 2, let's go back there. Acts chapter 2, and I'm sorry I got a little disjointed there, but like I said, none of this is in my notes. I had not planned to get into this, but it is very, very important. Acts chapter 2, Verse 2, suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, well, yeah, that Jesus already breathed into them the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but then they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The first was the work of the new birth. They were baptized into the body of Christ through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm getting real technical here. This is a theological discussion of how technical this is. But on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, wall-to-wall Holy Ghost, hallelujah, top to bottom, in a second experience, a second unique experience. First they were born again, then they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They spoke with other tongues. They had utterance of tongues. Woo, hallelujah. We're digging into it now. Now I'll get back to my notes. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. Hallelujah. Philip is preaching here in Samaria, and the apostles hear about what's happened in Samaria. Verse 14 says, and when the apostles were at which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God. What does that mean, to receive the word of God? They heard the word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They received faith. They got born again under Philip's ministry. Okay? And this will be borne out by what we're reading here. They received the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, and they were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they received the word of God. They believed Jesus is Lord. They confessed him as Lord. They got baptized. Because see, the apostles didn't baptize anybody without asking first, do you truly believe and have received Jesus Christ as your Lord? They won't do it. You look at, check it out in the scriptures. You will find they will not baptize you in water anywhere in the scriptures until they had confessed Jesus as Lord, believed God raised him from the dead, and were truly born again. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. You have to be born again before you can get baptized. Now, we'll prove that out from this very same chapter. Philip, later on in this chapter, is talking to the eunuch. He preaches to the eunuch. He shares a lot with him. He teaches him. And the eunuch is excited, and he wants to receive Jesus as his Lord. And Philip asks him a question. Let's look at it. Verse 34 of this same chapter, Acts chapter 8. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, himself or another man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now did Philip say, ah, if you want to be baptized, sure, I'll do it. No, he checked up on him. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, all the things that he preached about Jesus, if you believe that, then thou mayest. And the man answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed Jesus. He confessed that he agreed with everything that Philip had preached to him about him being Lord. And then Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down to the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, or the eunuch commanded the chariot to be still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. So Philip didn't baptize him. Same man we're talking about here in Samaria. Philip wouldn't baptize you unless you were born again and unless he checked up on whether you were born again. Do you see that? That's critical for you to understand this. Philip would not baptize anybody in water unless they were born again. So, they received the word of God, it says. They sent Peter and John, who, verse 15, who, when they'd come down to Samaria, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they laid hands on them, and those folks received the Holy Ghost. Now, I know a lot of people say, yeah, but Dr. Bill, it doesn't say there that when they received the Holy Ghost, that they spoke in other tongues. Well, now hold on. You got to keep reading. It says here that there was a sorcerer named Simon who was present. And Simon, this sorcerer who had bewitched all the people with his sorceries, when he saw, in verse 18, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered the money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." Well, let me ask you something. If you're a powerful sorcerer, and you had bewitched the people, and you'd been doing all kinds of signs that they were amazed at, and you saw a bunch of guys just lay hands on folks one after the other, and nothing happened. There was no supernatural manifestation. Do you think he'd offer money for that? I mean, I could go lay hands on people and nothing happened, and big deal, you know. No, he saw something. Now let's see what Peter said about that. He said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Notice what he says. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. The word matter there is actually the Greek word utterance. You have no part or lot in this utterance. In other words, he is talking about speaking in tongues. He's talking about the same utterance that he was talking about, that we read about earlier in the book of Acts, when he talked about the utterance came when the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. So the utterance he's talking about here is speaking in tongues. The Greek word here is utterance. So you have neither part nor lot in this utterance. What Simon saw that he was willing to pay money for was the ability to lay hands on people and have them speak in another language supernaturally. That's what got his attention. That's what amazed him. Now, praise the Lord, Simon repented. He said, "Oh, brethren, I repent." He said, you know, Peter told him his heart wasn't right. And Peter said in him, "Thy money perish with thee, for thou hast thought that the gift of God might be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter," or we would say matter of utterance, because that's what the Greek says. "For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. That repent therefore of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which are spoken come upon me." And they, when they testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So, this Samaritan sorcerer, Simon, repented and got right with the Lord. Praise the Lord. But that was very instructive to show us that, in fact, he saw them speak in other tongues in this instance. And I said we were going to answer those questions for that brother next episode. I tell you what, we're out of time. We're going to have to continue this in the next episode of the Word of Faith Netcast. We're just out of time for right now. But remember what we talked about here. This is important information, all right? Praise the Lord. You can write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. And of course, you can always write me at my email address, drbill@wofm.org. Woo, praise the Lord. I just got a lot to get out quickly. drbill@wofm.org. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.